This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Sometimes language gives us a powerful insight to the cultural debates of our times. The descendants of enslaved Africans have been called Negro, Colored, Black, and African American. But in the Obama era, African American might mean someone who just moved to America from Nigeria or Zambia, or someone whose family has been here for generations. You'll remember that not so long ago, during the long presidential race, some people debated if Barack Obama was really black, because he's the son of a Kenyan and the descendant of slave owners on his mother's side, not a descendant of people who were enslaved. What do black Americans from different ethnic backgrounds have in common? If you put a Latino, African, and Caribbean immigrant together, among others, into the mix with American-born black folks, how do cultures mix and clash? Today we look at multiculturalism in the black American community, and joining us today we've got Chope Ogunyemi, a Los Angeles-based media professional. She was born in Nigeria and came to the U.S. with her family in 1994, and Edwin Okongo, Associate Editor and Director of Communications for New America Media. Hi, folks.
Hi. Hello.
So, you know, Edwin and Chope, you're both from Africa. And let me start with you, Edwin. What was your perception of what America would be like before you came here?
Well, I thought America was going to be a big old city and a lot of educated people and I thought I was going to be at the bottom of the class before I came here, and we just thought that, you know, this was going to be a place of money and everything was just good.
So how old were you when you came to the States?
I had just turned 20. This was 14 years ago.
And so you came here expecting kind of the city of gold.
Yes.
And what did you find when you got here?
A lot of difficulties. It took me 8 years to go through community college alone, and 10 years to get my bachelor's degree. And it's because I learned very quickly that you had to work, you had to learn things. Even though I spoke English and I've been learning English since I was a kid, it was different here. There are things, cultural things, I didn't understand, and it was really, really painful. Growing up, trying to learn all those things. And
Now, did you move here with your family, or did you move here alone for school? How did you how did you make the decision to come to the U.S., and who did you come with?
I have an uncle here who's been here since 1980, and he found me an admission to college, and I just packed my things. I came with a bag, and one of the things that they told me that you don't need any clothes. America is a place where you work for a week and you take the rest of the week off or the month off, so you're gonna buy yourself a lot of clothes. So I came with a little bag and whatever I was wearing, and once I got here, I found that this place where because when we saw on TV, we saw that the America they show us is, it's snowing and clean highways and big cars. And I thought, when my uncle picked me up from the airport, we were riding in a Toyota 4Runner, brand new, and I'm like, wow, I've made it. And then getting to the apartment and finding out that the seven people who had gathered there, that I thought they had gathered there to, celebrate my arrival, lived in a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you in a second about the work that you do with New America Media, which does a lot of work in tracking media for different ethnic groups, particularly immigrant groups. But we've got not only Chope, but we've also got Jason Walker, president of the United for Jamaica organization, and who's at WRFG Radio in Atlanta. Jason, we've talked when we were down in Atlanta. I'm going to come back to you in a second, go to Chope first. When you're listening to Edwin talk about, his experience of first coming to the U.S., what does it call up for you?
Well, my experience was a little bit different. I moved here actually initially in the 80s as a young child, and then moved back to Nigeria, and then moved here finally in 1994. So I had some experience of what American life was, and that what Edwin talked about that immigrant mentality of really knowing that, you're going to have to work really, really hard. The streets are not paved with gold, which is really a mentality I think that I find when I go back to Nigeria, which I do quite a bit right right now, my family and friends think you've made it and it's so easy and everything just kind of falls into your lap and that kind of thing. I think that, you know, from my experience, I definitely grew up in the first couple of years when I lived in the United States. I lived in Los Angeles and I grew up in Ladera Heights, which is an upper middle class African-American community. So there was a great deal of difference for me in terms of being African and kind of the understanding that my African-American classmates and their families had about what it was to be African versus African-American.
Do you feel that, you know, you mentioned Ladera Heights, a very sophisticated neighborhood. Do you feel sometimes people say, okay, I came to the U.S., people had all these negative stereotypes about Africans, but there are also positive, you know, kind of, they're so sophisticated and, you know, different people have different kind of points of view or you know, mm-hmm. sort of not just stereotypes, but ideas of what African life is like. Right. So what did you find when you went in, you know, as a girl?
80s,
yeah. What did you find?
It wasn't the sophisticated perspective, I can tell you that much. It was definitely, you know, wow, do you live in trees? And, you know, do you hunt lions with spears? And, you know, that kind of thing. And I still get questions. It's interesting. I was talking to my father, actually, last night. And he mentioned, you know, 20 years ago when he first came to the country and having to deal with that and not seeing that. But as recently as a year and a half ago, you know, someone asked me, so are there only mud huts? I mean, you know, and I think that we've seen much more media coming from Africa and an understanding of that. But yes, so I think that there is some tension, I think, in terms of also what Africans, you know, kind of think of African-Americans, not just of America. Because I think, as Edwin said, you do find in places in Africa that Africans think that America is so easy. So they don't understand why African-Americans have some kind of gripe, I think, in some ways. They're kind of like, well, you live in America, everything's great there, you know, you should be able to, you know, do whatever you need to do. So I definitely found different kind of perspectives.
Well, I'm going to go to you, Jason, and it's great to have you back on again.
Oh, it's wonderful being on such an award-winning and fantastic show.
Well, thank you.
And congratulations on your awards this year, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. We spoke in the context of inter-ethnic diversity among Black folks in Atlanta. And Atlanta is one of those chocolate cities where you have a huge Black population and you have people, you know, we met people from East Africa, we met some of the Caribbean folks, of course, lots of American-born Black folks. And do you think, you're someone who brings people together through music, among many other things, do you think that there is a new opportunity now with the discussion that went on during the political season of what Blackness is and you know, the different ethnicities that Black folks in America now come from? Do you think there's an opportunity to build some bridges?
There's a huge opportunity. I was right after Obama won. I had Yvette Lee Clark, who's a congresswoman from New York, whose mother is Jamaican. And she made the point, you recognize that this man is a first-generation American. His father is Kenyan. So already, without even trying, there's an immigrant conversation right there. I mean, right before he got his victory, there was a story of a relative of his that was here undocumented. So that opens a whole lot of doors for an opportunity for the average American who never hears this conversation, who never hears this perspective, to hear this conversation, that it's not as easy as black and white. There is a whole diverse collage, so to speak, of ethnic groups that exist in this country and are doing things and exist right beside you without you even possibly even knowing it.
When you talk to your friends who are, did you ever have the is he black conversation with any of your American friends? I mean, I had the is Barack Obama black conversation at my hairdresser's, I have to admit. And it kind of blew my mind away that we were even having this conversation, me and another client. But did you ever have that conversation about what does blackness mean in the context of America now? And in the context of specifically of whether people are immigrants or whether people are descended from the enslaved Africans who came to the U.S. Centuries ago?
Oh, well, definitely. It was interesting because all of my international friends, Caribbean, African, so on, were like, he's black. What's your point? Especially early when persons really didn't know anything about Mr. Obama, I would hear from African Americans, "Who is this guy? What does he think? He wasn't even in the movement. He hasn't done anything. Where did he grow up? Hawaii? He didn't go through what I went through. He's not black." I heard that extensively, and you know, I'm involved with community activism across nations and across the world, so I deal with a lot of people in various communities, and especially in the African American community in the beginning here in Atlanta, there was a lot of distrust when it came to this, to Mr. Obama, and they were like, "He hasn't done anything for us, so you know, he hasn't worked with us. He didn't grow up in our kind of reality." So, yeah, he's not black enough. I heard that extensively.
Well, I just want to remind folks or refresh folks who just tuned in midway. We are talking about diversity within the black American community. This, of course, is NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We were hearing from Jason Walker, the president of United for Jamaica and head of the Caribbean Department for WRFG Radio in Atlanta. We've also got Chope Ogonyemi, Los Angeles-based media professional born in Nigeria, and Edwin Okongo, associate editor and director of communications for New America Media. So, Edwin, New America Media is what? Explain it to us.
Oh, it is, to put it briefly, it's sort of like the AP of ethnic media. And we come up with content and we try to help ethnic media. So a lot of people in ethnic media are people with great ideas, but they don't always have the tools to execute those ideas. And so what we do, we give trainings to them, and we help them. You know, one of the things we're involved in right now is trying to help ethnic media to come online, to go online and have digital archives and also training them with editorial, you know, how to write stories and cover their communities. Because, you know,
now, let me just jump in, though. When you talk about their communities, give me, are there a lot of African immigrant newspapers, radio outlets? I mean, are there people who are from African and Caribbean nations who are starting local regional papers or national ones?
Oh yes. Before I came to this job, I worked at a paper called Mshale, which is based in Minneapolis, and we covered everything, you know, African issues of African immigrants. And the paper was started because, you know, as African immigrants, we living here, we go to the newsstands and we read about Americans and other communities that have established themselves, or we go online and we read about our brothers and sisters back home, but we weren't really reading about ourselves, and that's so there are papers like that that just cover issues of African immigrant, and a lot of into, you know, covering, you know, this event happens, but what we are trying to do is to get them to cover the real issues that write about
hard,
you know,
news.
Yeah, hard news. Elder depression is a big thing among the African community, and you know, issues of immigration and human rights. And so New America Media tries to give them the tools. We are a nonprofit organization, and we right. organize and we partner. We are partnering up with journalism schools across the country and try to have this workshop to have these people, journalists, to come for maybe a weekend training.
Well, let me get Chope in here. You're here in the studio with me in Los Angeles. I can see you taking notes. One thing I wonder is, how do you maintain ties? I mean, obviously, I'm sure email, talk on the phone to your friends and family in Nigeria, but on a broader level, how do you find out what Nigerians in America are thinking and doing?
Excellent. That's an interesting question, because I was really thinking about what Jason was saying, and I actually have written for an African-based magazine called African. It's called The African, and I wrote for their online section, africanmag.com, and really what I did was I profiled up-and-coming people of African descent in the United States doing things in business, arts, and education. And to me, that's really important, because I think what Jason said is, was that Jason, or I apologize if that was a...
No,
That was Edwin. I apologize, Edwin. What Edwin said about representation and really understanding what's happening for the African diaspora in Europe, in Latin America, in the Americas. And that idea of representation was very important for me when I moved here, back here finally in 1994. I moved to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I remember very distinctly, you know, understanding that my experience was a sideline to American popular culture. And that's really where I got my interest in media. And I studied that. My senior thesis in college was about race constructs and interracial dynamics. And so for me, right now, I also work for an organization called Real Medicine Foundation, where I'm working in healthcare, a little bit of a sideline for me, to establish basic healthcare clinics in Nigeria. And they work throughout Africa, in Mozambique and in other countries, in order to kind of give back in the communities and help with healthcare there.
Jason, you get the final word. Is it important for you to reach out and educate Americans about Caribbean culture more than just kind of what we know about Bob Marley and beaches? And if so, how do you do that?
It's extremely important, especially when you look at the numbers of those who are either Caribbean or of Caribbean descent. I think it's over 10 million by now throughout the United States, and how much they are involved with the process of everything that exists in this country. And, you know, you ask, how do I do it? Well, there are various of us, just like Edwin spoke about. When I started in media, I actually started writing for a local magazine called Caribbean Star, and I now work with a national online network called CaribLifeCentral.com. And there are various entities like this, and of course I use WRFG in the same aspect, to try and educate both Americans and Caribbean people, because a lot of times the Caribbean people don't even know themselves about how much they have contributed to this society and how much they're actually involved with the foundation of so on. So, you know, the entities like I said, like CaribLifeCentral.com and so on, where people can get that information.
All right. Well, there's so much to talk about, but this was a great start. Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you, Farai.
We were speaking with Jason Walker, president of United for Jamaica, and he's also with WRFG Radio in Atlanta, joined us from Georgia Public Broadcasting. Also speaking with Chope Ogunyemi, a Los Angeles-based media professional, and she was here at NPR West, and Edwin Okongo, associate editor and director of communications for New America Media. And next on News and Notes, we look at an asthma study about black communities and find out why a good pitching arm is recession-proof when we do sports with Tony Cox and Bill Roden.